It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling, lobbing to the end zone, trying to get at him. Makes the grab! Touchdown, Raiders!
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Crosby's got him from behind! Back at the 45-yard line!
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz, and he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones, and he walks in. Touchdown.
And now,
Raiders!
All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we open up today on a big day on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, and on that beautiful Raiders mobile app. Here we go today. Big show. Why is it big? Because every day's big. Every day should be big, or you shouldn't have a radio show. Every day there should be something to talk about in sports. And the Raiders. Raiders are a part of sports, but I got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. I got a lot of things happening here in town. And as Bobby knows, I'm going to the Rolling Stones on Saturday night. Can you believe that? I'm going to be down front at the Rolling Stones with Mick Jagger on Saturday night. You better believe I'm ready. It's a big week, man. This is a big week. We had Cinco de Drinco last week, and I got the Stones this week, man. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with living in Des Moines, Iowa. There's nothing wrong with living in Jackson, Mississippi. I live in Vegas, man. Vegas, baby, Vegas. There's something going on all the time. Had a fraternity brother in town last night, went to the Cosmo for a little light dinner. He says, is it like this every Tuesday? I said, yeah. You know, you got a convention here with 1,200 people. 1,200 accountants are in town. They got to put them somewhere. This town is vibrant. This town is ready to go, and I'm ready to go today. So a lot of people wanted to talk to me yesterday about Costa Mesa and the Raiders waiting on the vote to go to Costa Mesa for training camp. Again, Vinny will join us. He was there for the vote last night. I wanted to fit this into the monologue as we get going. The monologue is brought to you by our friends at Golden Entertainment, who they own PT's, the best happy hour in town. May food and beverage specials galore, man. I'm telling you, the chicken bacon ranch pizza, 9 to 10 inch. It's right there ready. And Bobby loves the $8 loaded jalapeno bacon and cream cheese tots. You believe that? I'm selling tater tots on the radio. I'll do anything for PTs as they fuel the monologue. So let's get going here. Raiders are going to Costa Mesa. Here's my opinion on that. First off, I have no idea what the fan interaction is going to be. That's above my pay grade. Raiders will announce that. I don't know who's going, how the fans could get there. None of my business, but I know the Raiders are excited, and the Raiders like to treat their fans as good as any fan base in sports. So when we get that information, we'll let it go. There's no need for everybody to complain. This is a classic, and I'm on YouTube now, so people can clip this and the video on YouTube. People in Las Vegas in the media like to complain. They even think I'm a complainer. I love life. I love radio. I love the Raiders. People in this town before the Raiders came here complained all the time. They blanked and moaned. Oh, the taxes. What's going to happen? How much is the stadium going to cost? They now are turtles living in a shell. They look stupid. Imagine doing a radio show years ago saying, man, I hope the Raiders don't come here because... what, my taxes will go up? You don't pay state taxes. We're in Vegas here. We don't pay state taxes. Oh, well, the hospitals won't get built. No, they all got built. Oh, the roads won't get done. All the roads are getting done. Have you seen Tropicana? Have you seen the 215? I drive on the 215. It feels like I'm driving on beautiful, brand new roads. Everything's great. We barely have traffic compared to San Francisco or L.A. where I lived or New York where I'm from. But a lot of complainers in this town, man. It's cool to complain. Okay, so that's gone. If you're on the wrong side of the Raiders coming here, so they built this really expensive practice facility and a really expensive stadium that's now hosting the Rolling Stones and Guns N' Roses and AC/DC and Billy Joel and soccer games, global soccer games and sports conferences. Oh, my God. It's just spitting out cash, and everybody's having a great time with that. And the Henderson facility is one of my favorite places on earth. I mean, it's God's gift to the NFL, along with the Star in Dallas. So the Raiders want to get out of here for a couple of weeks because it's the hottest place in the world. Yeah. What the hell? What do I got to play weatherman for you? I've lived here since 1996. Now, I know that everybody can't leave in July and August. You have jobs. You have family. You have kids. You have things. You can't leave. But as I said, anybody who can get the hell out of here in July and August, run. I mean, run. Run to the border, man. Take a bus. Get out of here. I mean, I got backyard brick. I got the pool. Every casino is cold. They don't have clocks in the casino. You can cool off in a casino. You can just walk into a casino and sit on a bench and cool off in beautiful air conditioning. You got to get out of here. So, after years of living in Las Vegas and years of working with the Raiders, I know the history of the Raiders in training camp. The Raiders embrace taking their training camp to other places. Napa, to be example. Napa could be a big part of the future going forward. Got a lot of fans up in Napa in Northern California. You look at the history of the Raiders and what they've been able to do with their training camps up north in the heyday of the Raiders, what they did when they were in L.A. The Raiders have a global brand. The global brand is as big in Los Angeles as anywhere in the world. The Raiders have a larger fan base in Los Angeles than in anywhere in the world. Fact, not fiction. There are more Raider fans in L.A., in California. Forget about the state. I'm going L.A. There are more Raider fans in L.A. than there are in Northern California. And there's a lot in Northern California, the home of the Oakland Raiders. So they're going to go out there for a couple of weeks and cool off and bond and have a good time and have a Raider invasion. Someone make me the T-shirt. A Raider invasion of Southern California, where the Raider fans are going to be rewarded for their loyalty, just like the ones are here, and people have a good time going to Raider events in town. No team that I know in professional sports, and this isn't being a homer, which you've accused me of being, and you notice I don't care what you think when you say that. Call me a homer. The Raiders give back to the communities more than any team I've ever seen, more than the New York Yankees. The largest brand in North American sport, the Yankees. The Raiders have a bigger foundation than the Yankees. They donate money. They donate money. They're giving out checks for $250,000 to the Biletnikoffs the other day. The Raiders gala, everything they do. Mark Davis writing checks for charities. The Lou Ruvo Brains Center, all that stuff. Raiders are, you know this, right? I don't have to have a 10-minute diatribe. The Raiders are one of the most generous franchises in the world. So they're going to be generous to Costa Mesa for a couple of weeks. Going to cool off a little bit, get in the ocean. Players are going to bond. Everyone's going to go have a good time. Don't complain. Don't be like these curmudgeons in Vegas who complain. Don't complain every day. Don't look for something deeper. Well, we built the indoor facility. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? We built the indoor facility. You don't want to practice indoors. You want to practice indoors if there's a hurricane. If there's a sandstorm, you don't want to ideally be inside. I talked to John Gruden about this, Josh McDaniels. I haven't dove in deep on this with Antonio Pierce. It's tough to work out in training camp in Henderson in the heat of July and August unless you have a practice super early in the morning, which isn't conducive for the players and the media or the fans. It's not. So they're going to hold a couple of practices out there in Costa Mesa. When we have the details on tickets or what's going to happen, we'll let you know. And it's all good. I mean, I'm thrilled by this. I'm thrilled that I'm going to be able to spend a couple of days a week out in Costa Mesa having a Modelo in Newport Beach or Balboa Island after practice and hang out with a global Raider Nation in L.A. That's a good thing. So everything's good. Don't make a conspiracy theory out of this. This has nothing to do with Henderson letting down the city of Henderson. Oh, my God, this is great. This is great. This is unbelievable. Napa. I hope we go back to Napa down the road. That'll be great. Maybe Oxnard again. This year it's Costa Mesa. Might not be every year. But here's the key that I wanted to say on this whole topic. I talked to a Raiders alumni on this topic driving into work today. And he said, and I kind of hinted to this yesterday, but I got the quote. This is not day camp. This is training camp. We're going back to work. This is a work trip for the players of the Raiders. Not that it would have been nice to end practice in Henderson and then go to your home in Southern Highlands and have a barbecue with your kids and change your baby's diaper and feed the dog. That ain't training camp. That ain't what the Raiders used to do at training camp. They used to have two-a-days in pads in extreme heat. You look at San Ramon, you look at the Raiders in the 70s in their glory years, the greatest teams ever assembled into the 80s. You know what training camp was? It was 2 months of two-a-days. It kicked your ass. It wasn't, oh, we're done with practice. Let's go to Dave and Buster's. Let's go home and have a barbecue and invite the neighbor across the street. That ain't training camp. Training camp is you lock in with your teammates in a closed environment. You work your ass off under extreme conditions. This is cooler weather. This is just about weather. That's it. It's about weather. And then you bond and stay in a hotel room, and you're not going to have a barbecue with your neighbor across the street. You're not walking your dog. You're not changing your kid's diaper. You're working. That's the key that no one's seeing here. This is better for the Raiders. Now, it might, you know, could be years from now or next year the Raiders decide, hey, man, we tried Costa Mesa. Let's go back to Henderson. The players like it more, this, that, or whatever. I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. But the point is, this is a good thing. This is fine. There's no conspiracy here. No one's upset. No one's angry. Mark Davis isn't slapping the city of Henderson and penalizing or anything. This has everything to do with the weather and some cooler weather and some team bonding. And go have a good time. Just go back to Santa Rosa, California. Any Raider fan worth calling themselves a Raider fan over the age of, say, 30, 35 years old knows that the Raiders went to Santa Rosa. They had two-a-days. They drank their bar out of beer. They played air hockey. They had a lot of fun. And you know who weren't there? The wives. You know who weren't there? The girlfriends. I think they had one day an alumni told me, one day they had a family day and the wives would come up for one day. They were there for 2 months. And they played six preseason games and they practiced in pads every day. This is not day camp, everybody. This isn't, hey, man, let's make this easy for everybody involved. This is work your ass off. We got to win games against the team going for a three-peat in Kansas City. We got to beat the Chargers, and we got to sweep Denver again. So relax, as Aaron Rodgers would say. Relax. Who doesn't want to go to Costa Mesa? I can't wait to get there. Are they going to build that train in time, Bobby? That train that's taken 40 years? Is that going to be built in time? Imagine if the train was ready, the bullet train to Costa Mesa. Just get on there, have a couple of Modelos, and you're there. I love it there, man. I fill in for Jim Rome. It's in Costa Mesa right there. It's right next to Newport Beach. A big Bishop Gorman enclave that time of year. And we all want to get the hell out of here. We all want to get out of here. Let's get out of here for a couple of weeks and cool off. And then we'll come back and bake like potatoes for another 2 weeks. Again, Bobby's laughing like, I can't even walk to my car after the show in July. And I'm the mayor of Vegas. I tell you all the time, I like it hot. I love it hot when it gets hot, man, until it gets to 115, until it gets to 112. Imagine being a football player and practicing in that, and it's good. It toughens you up as a football player, but stop with this. We built an indoor practice facility. That's for the season. That's for today. It doesn't mean anything. What it means is I saved the best for last. We, the Raider Nation, own Southern California. As of today, we are the largest football brand still in Southern California. The Rams are coming. They won a Super Bowl. The Rams got Sean McVay. They're well run. They don't have anywhere near the Raider fans. Again, we always laugh about the Chargers. They have anywhere between 360 and 700 fans, real fans. They don't have any fans. None came from San Diego. I mean, we could have had this training camp in San Diego, and we would have sold out San Diego. So Costa Mesa, between the border, the San Ysidro border, all the way up to the core of Los Angeles and northern, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California to prove that the Raiders are the global brand in football in Southern California. And when we go to Napa, whenever they go, we'll be the global brand up there. But, hey, I respect the Niners. The Niner fan base in the Bay Area is bigger. They're the Niner Empire. They've been there, but the Raiders are massive in the East Bay, in the Bay Area, and in Napa, where I always enjoyed going to Napa. I mean, the stories of finishing practice, doing the radio show. I'm double-dipping, doing two shows, and coming out of there and going to a winery with the cigar at 7 o'clock at night. I mean, unbelievable. Some of the best memories I've ever had with the Raiders. So everybody, embrace this. Don't be paranoid. Don't be a paranoid Raider fan. Don't get all worried about Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell now. What's today's date again? It's May 8th. We don't have a quarterback battle today. We're all fine. We're all good. We're not nervous. We're not cranky. We're not curmudgeon-y. We're not like, oh, my God, what does this mean? What is Mark saying to us by moving camp to Costa Mesa? Mark Davis does everything. Mark Davis writes checks to make sure that his football operations have everything they need. Remember we went to Greenbrier last year? What a disaster that was. It wasn't a disaster. A lot of the players told me off the record they didn't love it, but Josh McDaniels wanted to go to the Greenbrier and get ready for a game, and we didn't show up for the game. Well, we didn't play great in the next game. Sometimes the Raiders are going to decide, hey, man, we're going to Florida. The schedule comes out. We're playing the Dolphins and Tampa Bay on the road. Maybe we'll stay there. I don't know. I don't know what the dates are for it. So the money that Mark Davis spends and what he's worth now is none of your business. It's none of your business. It's not your business what Mark Davis wants to do with his money. If he wants to build a new facility, if he wants to build one for the Aces, if he wants to go to Costa Mesa, it's no one's business. Mark is very generous with his time with the fans, his money, and what he wants to do to better the team. And he's really trying to win. And look what they did with Christian Wilkins. And look what they're doing, Brock Bowers. And look what they're trying to do. They just brought in a former Pro Bowl offensive lineman to add to this team. So I'm excited about Costa Mesa. I had no idea it was coming until recently. And then when I heard the rumor, I'm like, man, that'd be cool. Costa Mesa in July? Get the hell out of here for a couple of days or a couple of weeks? How many weeks it is? And then to be back here for the preseason games. So I'm excited. So Vinny Bonsignor, we're going to talk to him about it. He was there for the vote. If you want to call in on this, I can take phone calls on it now. I couldn't yesterday. And, you know, I want to just see what's going to happen. I wanted to wait for the vote and the approval. We do things a little bit differently on this show. We're going to wait for that. We waited for that. And now I can take your phone calls on it. I think it's, number one, it's weather-related. And number two, I think it's the convenience to the Raider global fan base that's enormous in that area. And they want to see some of their Raiders, too. So whatever they do, I'm on board. I hope they go to London again. I'd love to be invited to go to London. I'd love to be invited to go to Brazil or Germany to see a Raider game. I'd love to do all this. Life is short, baby. Hey, everybody, life is short. It's really, really short for a lot of people. Enjoy the curves in life that come at you. Vinny Bonsignor was there for the vote. So, Vinny, walk us through the timeline on the decision to go there, needing approval, and what you saw last night as you were there.
Yeah, and first of all, thanks for having me, JT. It was, I had to sit through a couple of different things at the city council meeting. Obviously, they have other business outside of just the Raiders to deal with, and got that all sorted out. And, this is a deal that had been in the works for a little while. Remember, the Chargers are leaving Costa Mesa this year to go practice in training camp at their new facility in El Segundo. So that opened up what's kind of a prime practice spot for training camp. And it wasn't just the Raiders who had showed interest. The Houston Texans had contacted Costa Mesa about replacing the Chargers at that facility this year. But the Raiders obviously beat them to the punch. Got a deal done fairly quickly, and it went to a vote yesterday at their city council meeting, and it was overwhelming 7-0 in favor of it. And the Raiders are going to spend part of their camp in Costa Mesa as a result.
Vinny Bonsignor. So, Vinny, what are the pros? What are the pros to moving to Costa Mesa? What makes sense from a temperature for practice and especially the schedule from everyone from the players to the fans? And most importantly, you know, it's the most important is the players and the organization. But on top of that, the media access compared to what you've seen in Henderson the last couple of years.
Yeah, that weather perspective is really important. And we've been out there for training camps, even standing there on the sidelines. It could be a little bit of a challenge. So imagine being, you know, the players working in that kind of heat, and not to mention how their day is affected. I know they're professional athletes. They get paid a lot of money. But the point of training camp is to get as prepared as possible for the season. That's what the whole purpose of training camp is. And so what the Raiders want to try to do is find just a better place, a better working environment to get prepared for the season. And so I think the weather component is a huge part of that. Nothing's really going to change in terms of the fan experience and the fan attendance. And that's really out of the hands of the Raiders. Because Costa Mesa is Ram and Chargers territory in terms of the marketing rights, the Raiders are very limited in how they can market themselves, and they're not allowed to hold public events, and public events fall under practices as well. So in terms of that fan participation, it's going to be, at this point, limited to season ticket holders, sponsors, and select guests, invited guests by the Raiders. And that's because of an NFL rule that, again, forbade them from doing so. That's out of their hands. And so that's not going to necessarily change. Although, because there's space at Jack Hammett, the facility there.
Costa Mesa cell phone. We got you, Vinny? Costa Mesa cell phone. There you go. We'll ring him back. Vinny's driving back from Costa Mesa for the vote. So I'm hopefully we get a clear phone line from him here in a second. So we'll wait for that to clear up a little bit here. We don't have him on an ISDN line, and we don't have him in studio. So Bobby's going to try to call him back. So, again, I'm not really comfortable commenting on what's going to happen with the fan interaction. I don't know, but as Vinny was just in the midst of telling us, it's going to be very interesting, the rules of not being in that market. It's the Rams and the Chargers and what they're able to do with public events and appearances and all that, and that's part of it. I mean, you just don't get everything you want when you go there, nor do the Raiders want everything there. They just want to go there for conditioning and camp before they play their preseason games, which I think are going to be really important this year. Preseason hasn't been that important in regards to – it's been very important to every coach, but they haven't played a lot of the players along the way. So, Vinny, you were talking about some of the limitations for the Raiders in the market due to the Chargers and the Rams.
Exactly, and as a result of that,
all right, we're going to blow this off and do it later. We'll get Vinny on a clearer line later. We'll jump into that in a little bit. It's not Vinny's fault. It's just a cell phone. So we'll wrap up the monologue here in a few minutes and take your phone calls on that. 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. I don't think this is a show where we all have to get into an argument. You know, I'm getting a lot of good tweets on this, loving this, and everybody's saying, unbelievable, love this. JT, you're on point right now. It's work. Need to get away to focus. Smart move. Love to go back to Santa Rosa and Napa, too. So a lot of people are checking in on this. If you'd like to call in on it and say, you know, give your opinion on this, I would like to see. I don't think it's a really important topic, but I think it could be a very big topic because the fact that the fans in Southern California are going to be rewarded with the Raider invasion. The Raider invasion coming to Costa Mesa is going to be really cool, and I think it's really important to make sure that the Raiders really have a firm grip on that market and they keep their grip on what they have in the Bay Area and their global reach, which was really important with the marketing of the Raiders overseas and playing in London and exposing the Raider brand and shield to London and those foreign games for years in Mexico. And what happens in Mexico? If you told me there was going to be a week training camp down in a cool area in Mexico, I'd be all for that too. But now it's Costa Mesa. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I think it's a blessing. I think it's going to be really good, and we'll have a good time going there. And if we're able to go all together and some of us have an opportunity to just get some cervezas and have a good time, that'll be a lot of fun. But take it from me. Every time this year, I run to get out of here before I have to start with the Raiders. I usually take vacation in early July to go back east or to just go somewhere by the beach or go to Newport Beach or San Diego to get there. And I think that's all that is just to do it. The facility's the best right there along with the Star in Dallas. I think a lot of fans understand what's going on here. But once again, as I say every radio show, I don't know until I hear from you. I'm not a mime. I got to understand what you're thinking as Raider fans. This is the longest tenured radio show in Raider history. I want to know what Raider fans think today of this move to go to Costa Mesa for training camp. And a lot of people seem to be agreeing with me that this isn't daycare day camp. This is work your ass off at training camp. And the conveniences of having training camp at home here is you go home at night. I'm not saying you get soft. But you sleep in your own bed, your own pillow. You kind of sit in your own backyard. You light up your cigar. You're looking out to the mountains. That's not training camp in Santa Rosa. That's not the training camp the Raiders used to do it when they were winning Super Bowls. So a little bit of, and this isn't discomfort, but a little bit of a change. I think it's change is good. And man, there's been a lot of change around here lately, hasn't there? There's been a lot of change from coaches to the organization to business and what they're doing. And we'll see what happens here. I'm excited to talk about it. Well, Jeff Sherman will join us at 12:45 from the Westgate, the gambling odds. Man, did you see Denver get boat raced by Minnesota? Can this country handle the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals? I don't think they can. And then you could have Bobby's Celtics and my Knicks which would be pretty cool. Hey, I'm off to the races. Jump on the show or jump into YouTube at JT the Brick YT on YouTube Live.
Are like another level of, I'd say, notoriety and national profile. And just if you look at what we've seen since this got in the press, we've been in Sports Illustrated, USA Today, and every time Costa Mesa is mentioned in those places, it increases our stature. The Raiders are a proud organization.
That's the mayor of Costa Mesa saying the Raiders improved Costa Mesa's status. Yeah, especially in July and August for a couple of weeks. I think any mayor would say that. You know, politics is a big topic for me off the air. You know, I'm doing a podcast with Tom Looney. We're starting to talk about a little bit of politics. I keep that off the shows. I keep it off my radio shows. That's not going to enhance my audience. No one wants to hear my political views, nor do I. So that's it. But when I talk about politics and sports, I've been on the right side of this equation for a long period of time. I've been on the right side of this along throughout my career because I think I've been versed in what happens in business as a former stockbroker and seeing business and looking up business and trying to at least educate myself about business. This is good for business. We're already here in Vegas. We got to Vegas, and it couldn't be bigger. Now, you could say it's not better because we haven't won the Super Bowl. That would be a fair argument. We haven't won the Super Bowl. We haven't won a playoff game here. Fair. I'm not talking, you're right. But by business, I believe this will go down as one of the greatest sports business legacy decisions in NFL history. And you know who gets credit for that? Mark Davis and the many people that were helping Mark move the team here back in the day. We always have Napoleon McCollum, our friend, Mark Bedane, the people behind the scenes that helped the Raiders get here. Now the Raiders are here, and they are a massive, vibrant, exploding sports franchise in the sports and entertainment capital of the world. Even the biggest detractors in Oakland, detractors in L.A., economists at Harvard and Stanford. You know, they always ask those two economists at Harvard and Stanford, what is the economic impact on a team when it moves? Well, if you do a bad deal in Charlotte, or if you do a bad deal in suburban Louisiana, or you bring a soccer team to Richmond, Virginia, and it doesn't work out, you can have that argument. There's no one else alive with any credibility that could say the Raiders coming to Vegas wasn't great for business. Look at what the franchise is worth. Look at the economic impact, the NFL draft, the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. Everything. We wouldn't have the Rolling Stones here in town. We couldn't fit the Rolling Stones in town Saturday night if Mark Davis didn't bring the Raiders here. So all that works. Now you got to keep up with the global brand by winning, right? You want to have a brand. Look at the Patriots brand. They did a roast for Tom Brady on Netflix. They did a roast for Tom Brady. If Tom Brady and the Patriots didn't win 6 Super Bowls, there would have been no Tom Brady roast. No one be talking about the Patriots. They won. And what did it do? It brought tremendous economic impact to Foxborough, an outpost between Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston, right? So Foxborough now is world famous because of the Patriots. Raiders coming here or not, Vegas was always going to remain Vegas and famous. But now Vegas has a sports element thanks to the Golden Knights and the Raiders and UNLV and the other teams that are here. The Aviators have the best ballpark in all of baseball. The economic impact is strong. So the economic impact in Vegas isn't going to be hurt for a couple of weeks because training camp is going to Costa Mesa. So, Bobby, I think we need to give away stuff. For whatever reason, I'm the guy who met my wife at the Stones. I didn't get Stones tickets on this show. So can we give away koozies maybe for the best call, like a $1.99 koozie for a good call here maybe today on Raiders training camp? Because I'm sorry, everybody, I don't have Stones tickets to give away. I guess because I'm going to the Stones, I don't have Stones tickets to give away. But they are on the station. And if you listen, which I hope you listen the entire day through our morning show and queue after me, I hope you have an opportunity to get Stones tickets. Because when you find out what I paid for these Stones tickets, you wonder why I work all these shifts, these double dips. So the Stones are coming up on Saturday. The Raiders also on personnel. I watched NFL Network this morning, and they were talking about some of the Raiders signings and what the Raiders have been doing in free agency. Raiders have been really active now. And when I think about Tom Telesco, and if you go to Raiders.com, you'll see the free agent tracker and what the Raiders have been able to do. I am really surprised by all of this. I'm excited that the Raiders are going out and bringing in players at multiple positions who can help the team in the short term. I think this is going to be a really big deal going forward. I mean, Gardner Minshew is a big one because he plays quarterback. Christian Wilkins is one of the best players in the league. You start going around and saying, you know, who else is here? Who else is coming in? Man, they retained a lot of players here, but the draft was something I was happy about. But free agency is important to me. So the offensive line depth is vastly improved. Vastly improved. So now the offensive line, I'm not saying we have the best offensive line in all of football, but the offensive line is vastly improved when it comes to depth. And the depth of the offensive line comes into play because offensive linemen get hurt. They're bigger men who sometimes have bigger medical problems. So I like what the Raiders are doing now on the offensive line. They have enough players now that they could have multiple players fill in for other players at different positions who can get it going. Andrus Pete was one of the, you know, top 100 remaining free agents. Ian Rappaport put out. Ian Rappaport likes him a lot. From NFL.com, Ian Rappaport thought this was a really good deal. I have a lot of respect for him. So they signed the ex-Saints Pro Bowler to the offensive line here. Obviously, he can play left tackle. If Colton Miller gets nicked up, he can move to right tackle here. And Pete, 30 years old, you know, he's had up and down years lately. In New Orleans lately, he hasn't been playing at the greatest level, but good enough to come in here and compete for a starting position and maybe start, but be a guy who gets heavy playing time in some type of rotation. So I love that overall. So when I look at the situation with the Raiders' offensive line, improved. They got Gardner Minshew. If he's the backup quarterback, without question, he's the number one backup quarterback in football. There is no one at the level of Gardner Minshew other than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a really good backup quarterback and can start and win games in this league. Gardner Minshew could start, and Aiden O'Connell would be the backup. And I think Aiden O'Connell would be one of the best backups there. So the Raiders don't have a super elite quarterback yet, but I don't think the quarterback position is going to hurt them. The only thing left for them to do is decide if they want a Stephon Gilmore or a veteran cornerback to compete. And the Raiders have had some good success with some veteran quarters here. Marcus Peters was really disappointing. Marcus Peters came in, they gave him number 24. He flashed in a couple of games, but you know, he avoided contact, avoided tackling, and they cut his ass because he just wasn't good at the end. He hit a wall, and he was just done, and they had to get rid of him. It'd be nice to bring in a corner, a cover corner with experience, and add to this group here, and maybe that player doesn't start every game, but he adds depth to the position. Jesse in Alameda, where the Raiders used to have their headquarters. Hello, Jesse.
Hello, JT. Sorry, I wanted to talk about the schedule release tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that because I'm going to be going to a game for the first time in Vegas.
The schedule release is not tomorrow. It's the following week, the 15th. So
following week, I'm sorry.
So we don't have schedule release till next week.
Okay. But you were talking about all the events that happened in Vegas. And there's a big one that's coming in April of next year, WrestleMania.
Yes.
I don't know if you know. Much about wrestling.
I'm not a wrestling guy, but I don't butt heads with you wrestling guys because I know you love it so much. But that'll be a big, that'll be huge to have WrestleMania at Allegiant Stadium. Massive.
Yeah. But JT, I just wanted to talk about the schedule release.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I can't hear you, man. We got bad phone lines today. I don't know what's going on with everybody. Please get to a landline. I still have a landline, or give us a call in a good space, 702-365-9200. Yeah, WrestleMania is another example. WrestleMania was not going to come to T-Mobile. Can't fit in T-Mobile. They weren't going to put it out at Sam Boyd. So you got Allegiant Stadium. Now you get the economic impact of WrestleMania, which will be massive here. You know, I've always been a big believer in build it and they will come. Build it and they will come. So getting back to my point on politics with the Raiders, when you write the history of the Raiders, the complete history of the Raiders, which they're doing now in the building, which is going to be fabulous. Wait till you see these documentaries. They are better than NFL films. I'm serious. They put that much money into it. It's amazing what Silver and Black Productions are doing. A big part of the legacy, the modern legacy of the Raiders, is the Oakland community. The Oakland politicians did not have the vision to see the Raiders thriving in the East Bay. They just couldn't do it. They had a bunch of dummies, the politicians who get fired every 2 to 4 years there, and no one cared. They had a bunch of really extreme people And I'm not talking extreme because of their political party. I'm talking they were very extreme on their lack of sports passion. So that's what's really different about Vegas. The people that are on the city council and the commission and the mayor and everybody involved here are very passionate about sports and bringing sports to Vegas. I mean, they will fight you in an alley to get a team to come here. While in the East Bay, in Oakland, they didn't care. It wasn't a passion of theirs for a lot of the other reasons. They were brought in to be politicians and, you know, oversee a lot of issues from homelessness to the economy to the port to schools and all of that. But it all would have been better if the Raiders were there. All would have been better if the Warriors stayed. All would have been better if the A's, who negotiated behind the Raiders' back to get the Raiders out of there, if the A's would have took advantage of the East Bay without the Warriors and the Raiders being there. Politics are a mess when they interfere in sports. Can you imagine being on life? You're on the planet for maybe 80, 90, 100 years if you're lucky. And you have people in a political role fighting to take away your entertainment and your sports teams, going out of their way not to keep your team and fight to get you a new arena, a new stadium. Who cares what it costs? It's all going to come out in the wash anyway. Someday you're not going to be here. You're not going to be sitting there on your last breathing days saying, man, I wish we had that. You can't take it with you. The communities in the United States of America are vibrant because of sports. Used to be movies. Remember when people used to go to a movie theater? Now no one goes to the movies, right? So sports is the last bastion and music to bring people together in a community to enjoy their lives while they're here on Earth. Vegas gets it. The East Bay doesn't. So Vegas is getting WrestleMania. They're getting the Raiders. And they're getting the Golden Knights because the politicians in Las Vegas get out of the way. And they provide jobs for construction workers who build it and they will come. I talk about that often with Tommy White. Build it and they will come. All right. 702-365-9200. I want to get the odds here now. Man, it might be worth it for some of you guys to put money on the Nuggets. Everybody's got the Nuggets out. Done. I want to know what the odds are there. Golden Knights are out. The effect it had on the Westgate and Jeff Sherman coming up next. So we'll do our gambling segment we do yesterday at this time, but we're preempted for the Aviators over at the Westgate with Jeff Sherman, brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino.
Inbound Edwards with it up top. And against Durant, stops, pull up on the three. Got it again! It's his quarter! It's 31 for Edwards!
Edwards is a hell of a player. Is he the baby Michael Jordan? JT, back with you. We have the pleasure of talking to Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, the VP of Risk Management, as we put some of the best gamblers and odds makers on this show based out of Las Vegas. Jeff, good to talk to you. I want to jump in on the Nuggets here and the price and the value now on the Nuggets. It seems like everybody is jumping off the bandwagon of the world champs, and they look like they're left for dead. What does it say at the Westgate?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, they've been on them all season, and it looked like it was going to be a Celtic-Nugget matchup. But then what we've seen the last two games, we've seen a lot of Timberwolves support now, and we've seen that in Game 3. Timberwolves are laying 4.5 against Denver. The series price has Minnesota minus 600. You can get 9-2 odds on Denver to come back and win the series.
Are you noticing it's any sharp money coming in on Denver now as you reset those odds there? And people like myself are looking at that saying, man, there's a chance. If there's a one team that can dig out of this hole with the pride, would be the world champs.
No, we haven't seen any sharp money yet. And I've eased them up to 18-1 for the title, which is above market, but I haven't seen anything on it. So they might end up touching 20-1 if I don't see anything more.
Jeff, what have you seen from the Wolves this year, from their preseason price to what's changed as they picked up some momentum here? Because I want to talk about the season preseason price before the season started with the Wolves and Oklahoma City. I heard more buzz on Oklahoma City before the season started than I did with Minnesota.
Yeah, the Timberwolves, we opened 50-1. Oak City, we opened 80-1. So you could have got some nice prices on them. And you know, they both rapidly went down as the season went on. But, you know, the Timberwolves eased back up when Karl Anthony Towns injured his knee. So you could have found them 30-1 going into the playoffs. Now they're sitting at 11-4. So drastic adjustments. And right now, those two are on course, it looks like, for the Western Conference Finals.
Jeff Sherman from the Westgate joins us. So Jamal Murray not getting a suspension and getting a fine. Any comment on that and how that could have affected the price going forward? I mean, if he was suspended for a game, it's over, game, set, and match. They still got him on the court.
Yeah, the line, we probably would have seen about 6.5 on Minnesota instead of 4.5 at that point. But, you know, it's not surprising just because I know that, you know, with him not making contact and them having an out and finding him the max that they could at $100,000, it seems like they just didn't want to disrupt Denver's chances in this series. So, you know, we're going to get him on the court, but I don't know if that's actually going to help him the way Minnesota's playing. And, you know, the one thing you mentioned with Minnesota, this whole season we've seen the constant through their defense, and it starts with their defense. They've had incredible defense, so it's going to be tough. Denver hasn't been able to solve it yet.
Jeff Sherman's our guest, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. So I've been dying to ask you, the in-game betting on the Knicks, as a diehard Knicks fan, they can't hold the lead. They're up 7 or 9, they give it back. Every time, not a little bit, every time they give it back. And then when they're down with under 2 minutes to go, they end up making historic runs and get back and been winning some of these games. What's it been like here as you're setting the lines for the Knicks? Series price, and then when you get into this wild in-game, the way they're playing, they're heart attacks watching these games.
Yeah, you know, the series price, we opened minus 275 on the Knicks and made an adjustment after their game one win all the way up to minus 350, and now we've seen some Pacer support in this game tonight and in the series price. But then when you mention as far as their in-play, what we tend to see as in-play is when the favored team gets down, they tend to get a lot of support. Knicks being favored tonight, if they get down against the Pacers, we'll see a lot of Knicks support. We see that with the other teams. You know, if Boston were to ever get down, we'd see a ton of Boston support, but they don't get down too much. So, but that's the tendency that we see from the public on in-play.
Jeff, what changes have you seen in maybe the last season or two on in-play from the regular season, obviously, to the postseason? Is the handle going up more and more and more people involved in understanding how to bet in the middle of the game?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, it's become a staple on all the sportsbooks boards now, and we tend to see high volume. Sometimes it approaches about 50% of what we do for the game itself. So a lot of people like to get involved, and, you know, especially with the NBA, because there's such wild swings in it that the pregame price, you can end up getting probably a better price on both sides than betting it pregame if you just go with the swings.
We're going to miss your beautiful little daughter at Golden Knight games. We both go to a lot of games here. I know the liability is off the books there over at the Westgate, but what was that series like? It went to 7. Golden Knights were in it. They had a 2-0 lead. The value at betting the Dallas Stars at that point in time to come back and win the series, I'm sure some fans were able to do that.
Yeah, when the Stars were down 2-0, the Knights were a $4 favorite, so you could have got the Stars at plus 330.
Whoa.
We didn't see too many takers on that. We saw a lot, you know, when the series got tied up, but not when it was a plus 330. There was no liability at that point. But, you know, that game, game 6, was a tremendous handle on both sides of it, or game 7, I'm sorry, tremendous handle on both sides of it. So it was our most highly wagered upon hockey game this season.
Jeff, let's wrap it up with your specialty at golf. You know, I love talking to you about golf. Played the other day, Wells Fargo coming up, some inclement weather supposedly here on Thursday morning. How big's the field? Give us the odds here for some of the favorites in the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, it's a signature event, so we just have 69 golfers, especially with after Ludwig Oberg pulled out. Mm-hmm. So we'll look forward to seeing him next week. But Rory McIlroy is the 15-2, 7.5-1 favorite, followed by Xander Schauffele at 10. Defending champion Wyndham Clark, he was 16-1 down to 14-1. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see a preview of next week's PGA Championship with a solid field going this week.
That's a great field. Hey, last one. One of my listeners are asking, anything with Caitlin Clark and the handle with the WNBA now that she left Iowa and came to the professional ranks?
Yeah, it's been a tremendous response for the WNBA so far. We've seen a lot of tickets on all the teams and the title odds. We have season-long props with her up, season win totals with we've seen the Fever opened at 21.5. They're actually down to 19.5. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have Caitlin Clark props on each game the Fever play.
Each game they play, Caitlin Clark props. Amazing. Thank you so much, Jeff. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks, JT.
That's Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate. That's the casino sports book I recommend to everyone. The sharpest one. Our friends are there. We've been there forever. Go watch a lot of golf there. And Jeff Sherman is fantastic. How about that for Mark Davis and the Aces? The Aces are going for a three-peat. And Mark and the Aces get this unbelievable historic moment of Caitlin Clark thrown in as they're going for a three-peat. I mean, that's amazing. It's just going to get more eyeballs on the WNBA and the amount of money being bet there. I'm fascinated about the NBA now. Again, I'm not a gambler. I put gamblers on the radio. How do you not bet on the Denver Nuggets to come back at this price a little bit? Unless you think they're left for dead. I mean, it's still Bobby, it's still the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're not talking about a dynasty of the Warriors here or LeBron and the Lakers. I mean, you're telling me we can't come back against the Thunder or the Timberwolves?
Well, if you got an extra 20, throw a flyer on them, by all means. What the hell? I mean, they are the world champions. But, geez, if you look at those last two games, man, they are going to be tough.
You are right about this. Dylan Edwards on the YouTube says, JT, is Bobby your son? No. Bobby is the longtime producer of this show. I answer to Bobby. No.
For the record, I'm actually 4 years older than he is.
You are 4 years older than me. Yes, you are 4 years older than me. When's your birthday again? When's your birthday again?
April 7th.
Yeah, just had April 7th. Yeah. Wow. That's wow. So 4 years. I never asked that question. You don't put your actual birthday on there. You don't tell everyone. Yeah, that's good.
I don't actually look
you
at it.
You gave me
I know.
Another clue because Looney, my podcast partner, we're doing one tonight. He's been was my partner for 14 years. He still won't tell me his age and he will never let me see his driver's license.
I bet you could Google it.
Yeah, I think I've tried. I haven't been able to do that. Hour one is done. We didn't get Vinny up here for a long period of time just because the phone line wasn't good. So maybe we can make that up tomorrow. I'm free the rest of the show. So let's see who's out there with me here. Bobby's looking at it again. We don't got any koozies or T-shirts to give away. We just want to talk to Raider fans. The topic today is a simple one. The Raiders are going to have training camp in Costa Mesa, California. How do you stand on that topic? Are you good with it? Are you negative about it? Do you see the upside? Do you think there's downside? Do you think it'll bomb the team? Do you think they'll make them better? What do you think is the master plan here? I'd love to get someone else's opinion. Other than mine, seems like my opinion, it shouldn't be the record. This is the show for Raider fans who are out there ready to roll. Rolling Stones coming up. We're excited about that. Rolling Stones weekend here in Vegas. Maybe some pool parties into the Rolling Stones if there's no wind out there. Golf yesterday with my son. Had a great day yesterday out with my son. Brought to you by Modelo. He's not old enough to have Modelos, but I was. Had a few out there. The fighting spirit of Modelo.